Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is January 31st, and our reading comes from Matthew chapter 20. Beginning in verse 29, Matthew says this, "As Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind. Two blind men were sitting beside the road, and when they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' 'Be quiet,' the crowd yelled at them, but they only shouted louder, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' Well, when Jesus heard them, he stopped. He called, 'What do you want me to do for you?' 'Lord,' they said, 'we want to see.' And Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes. Instantly they could see, and then they followed him." I love that story, right? Word about Jesus is spreading. And these two guys who are blind and been suffering for years, they get wind that this Jesus guy who's doing miracles is going to be passing their way. So they're shouting out. Well, the crowd is trying to shout them down. The crowd wants them to be quiet and not bother Jesus. But man, they're desperate. And they're crying out for Jesus. You ever been around somebody spiritually desperate? The circumstances of their life caused them to cry out for God. They're pursuing him with a passion and unconcerned what anybody thinks, right? They're actually much more passionate maybe than you are in the moment. And it makes us a little uncomfortable. And sometimes we even have a tendency to try to put them down, to quiet them a little. But they refuse to give up. They're shouting for Jesus. This is their chance and, well, their only hope. I love the quote, "The kingdom of God does not belong to the well-meaning, but to the desperate." And in their desperation, they're crying out to God. And the truth is, in America, we could use a little desperation. The truth is, in America, most of us are so comfortable so much of the time, it's hard for us to be bothered. It's hard for us to feel desperate. The truth is, it's hard for us to be motivated to seek God with this kind of passion. Man, let's pray and ask God to stir it up in us again, to fan the flames of revival and desperation and hunger, that we could experience a touch from God. Not just that our circumstances would be okay, not just that we would feel good, not just that we would be happy, but that we could walk with God, right? So they're crying out. And what I love is Jesus doesn't put them down. Jesus doesn't walk away. Jesus doesn't ignore their pleas. He stops. He speaks to them. He listens. He's moved with compassion. He feels sorry for them. And then he touches them. I just love how Jesus does several things. He stops, he listens, he feels, he touches, and they're healed and changed forever. And the truth is, when we encounter Jesus, he changes everything. I love that, right? And so they decided to follow Jesus. And I'm just convinced once we touch Jesus, once we have a genuine encounter with Jesus and experience his work in our heart and life, we can't help but follow Jesus. And we want to be a church made up of people who have had that kind of experience, who are following after Jesus, so that just like in our story, word about Jesus and what he can do in your life begins to spread all over our city. I mean, just imagine if around our city, inside, in people's hearts, they were crying out, "Where can I find this Jesus who's changed my friend, who's impacted my spouse, who saved and rescued my kid? Where can I find that Jesus that I've heard about?" What if they were flocking to Definition? Not because they were looking for a cool church, but because they were looking for Jesus. Oh boy, come on y'all, let's pray. Let's pray that that would be true about who we are as a church. Then watch this, chapter 21. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two of them ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said, "and as soon as you enter it, you'll see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he'll immediately let you take them." Well, this took place to fulfill the prophecies that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble and riding on a donkey," riding on a donkey's colt. The thing I love about that part of the story is it just shows us God has a plan. Don't you love that? God has a plan. And I love the fact that the Savior of the world, God, entered into our world in humility, which makes him accessible for all of us. He didn't come riding in on a black stallion. He came in riding on a donkey. Humble, accessible, approachable, compassionate. That is our glorious King. So he comes into the city and everybody's celebrating his arrival. Verse 10, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. Man, I pray that the day would come that there was such a move of God in the heart and life of our church that people all over our city started saying, "Who is this Jesus? Who is this person that they're so excited about, that everybody's talking about, that I've heard all these stories and rumors about that?" Man, wouldn't that be awesome? Come on, let's pray for genuine revival like that in the heart of our church. Verse 12, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer, a place of communion with God, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." Why does Jesus get so angry in this moment? Because Jesus is angry with anything that gets in the way of our relationship with him, right? He's flipping over these tables. He's driving these merchants out because they've turned church into a business, and the business is keeping the people from God. Jesus doesn't want any barrier to keep us from entering into a relationship with the Father. I just love that. I love that passion that he has for us. Verse 14, the blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And the leading priest, the religious people, and the teachers of religious law, they saw these wonderful miracles. So they see the miracles, and they heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David, but the leaders are indignant. They're mad. They asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" He said, "Yes. Haven't you read the scripture? For they say, 'You have taught children and infants to give you praise.'" In other words, Jesus is claiming, "I'm the one. I'm the Messiah." And the Bible says that infants, children, will recognize that and give me praise. Well, the religious leaders, they go unhinged, right? Verse 18, in the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry, and he noticed a fig tree beside the road, and he went over to see if there were any figs on it, but there were only leaves. And he said, "Maybe you never bear fruit again." And immediately the fig tree withered up and died. Why did Jesus do that? Well, in the context, what Jesus is doing with this tree is a living metaphor that religion is fruitless. And Jesus has come not for the religious and not to give us a religion. Jesus has come so that we would have new life and so that we would bear much fruit. Remember, the religion is keeping people from God. Jesus has come to bridge that gap, to bring us into relationship. And Jesus promised, if we abide in him, if we stay connected, if we learn to live in his presence, we will bear much fruit. So important. But he also said that when we are unfruitful, right, that we would be cut off. And what he's saying here is this tree is bearing no fruit. This religious community is bearing no fruit. So they were grafted out. And Jesus is bringing in all who are spiritually hungry and open, even the Gentiles, right? It's a new season because God is working and making the kingdom of heaven available to everyone who's spiritually open and hungry. And when we begin following Jesus, our lives bear fruit. Man, isn't that good? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much again for your word, the encouragement, the challenge it is to us. I love the fact that when we were blind, you heard our cries. You worked in our hearts to stir us up, to turn our face to you, to open our hearts to you. And you stopped, and you listened, and you cared, and you touched us. And now we can see. God, fill our hearts with gratitude over all that you've done for us. And God, as we follow you, Lord, I pray that it would create such a buzz, such a hunger, that all over our city, people would start saying, who is this Jesus that I keep hearing about? And they would come and open their hearts to you. God, I pray that you give us the same passion to remove every barrier that keeps people from a relationship with you. I pray, God, that our lives would be fruitful, our churches would be fruitful. God, so that people all over our city who are desperate could taste and see that the Lord is good. So, God, we just open our hearts, continue this work in us. We're trusting you. We need you, oh God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks again for being with me. Hope that encourages you. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.